Begin the current daf in Sechtzivam as daf mem aleph. We begin three lines daf at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the new Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing the topic of krevas chalutzase, which is that the Rabbanan said that the chalutza, after he does chalitza to the Avama, then all her relatives, as if she was a divorced woman, where her relatives are forbidden, so too by the relatives of the chalutza, they're forbidden. So the Mishnah tells us that hacholes livimta, if someone does chalitza to his Yavama, and his brother died without any children, and he decided to reject that bond and do chalitza, v'nasa achiv esa chaisa v'meis. Now what happened is that his brother married his Yavama's sister, which is unrelated. His sister-in-law's sister could have been married to someone, could get married to whoever she wants to, ended up getting married to his brother. Then his brother dies without any children. So that the Mishnah tells us, chaletzes v'loy misya bemes. So now he has to do chalitza to his sister-in-law that he rejected with chalitza, her sister who now is married to his brother, which is krevas chalutzasai, he has to do chalitza and not yibum. Now the reason why he can't do yibum is because, as we explained in the previous Mishnah, she is achis chalutzasai, she's the sister of his chalutza. Now, however, Rashi does explain, but however, she's not totally exempted from the halacha of chalitza either, because biblically, she is a regular full-fledged yavama. Even though her sister, the one that he did chalitza to, is still alive, because the halacha of achis chalutza, the sister of the one that he rejected for chalitza, is only a rabbinic halacha, but biblically, she's not an erev, she's not forbidden. And therefore, you really would have to do yibum. Rabban say it's aser. So, however, that doesn't allow us to do yibum, but he would still have to do chalitza. Mishnah continues the v'chein that the same halacha applies by hamagarish es ishtoi. But someone that the first case is talking about when he does chalitza to a woman, which is some form of like a divorce to his sister-in-law. So too is someone that divorces his wife, which Gemara will ask what's v'chein, because actually it's saying a different halacha, although similar. So the Mishnah says, so if someone divorces his wife, now his brother marries his former wife's sister, and then his brother dies without any children. That the Mishnah says, "Harezu betura." So this woman, meaning his sister-in-law, his wife's sister, is going to be exempt even from chalitza, because she's totally rejected from nachav yibum because of achayis isha, since his wife is still alive, and that is the sister of a divorcee is forbidden biblically as an erev of achayis isha, as the pasuk says in Mikra Yudches, aleha b'chayeha, as long as his wife is alive, even if it's his ex-wife now, because he divorced her, still her sister, achayis isha, is going to be forbidden, and that's one of the 15 arayis mentioned in the first Mishnah, Masechet Yavama, that she's totally exempt from the halacha of yibum. Now the Mishnah transitions to a similar halacha, when we're talking about shemeres yavam, she's not chalutza, he didn't reject her with chalitza, she's anticipating yibum. Now, similarly, in this case, what we have, Shekidish Achim. Now, one of the brothers went. Now, in a sense, it really means one of the brothers that of the person that just died without any children. But we say it because we're focusing as if she's waiting for Yibum to one of the brothers, let's say Reuven. Levi is the one that died. And now Shimon, one of the other brothers, goes and gets engaged to Esachaisa, to the sister of the Shemeres Yavam, of the Yavama, after the Yavama had already fell for Yibum, meaning that her husband, their brother, had already died. After he died and she became a Yavama, one of the brothers decides he's going to go ahead and get engaged to the Yavama's sister. So that the Mishnah tells them, Shem Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir Amru, in the name of Yehuda ben Maaseir, they said, Aymrim Lai, we tell this Yavam, who's not being a Yavam actually, he's doing the opposite, he's going ahead and getting engaged to the Yavama's sister, which obviously would not allow him to then do Yibum, because then it would be Achayis Ishtoi. So we tell him, look, Hamtein, hold off from consummating this relationship of doing the suin of getting married. Because the problem is, you're going to be encountering, if you're going to go ahead with this relationship, in Achayis Kuka. You have this Yavama who's Zakuk, there's some type of a bond over here, after your brother died without any children. You're marrying the sister of almost like Achayis Isha on the rabbinic level. So wait achiyasa achicha maisa. Wait until one of your other brothers goes and does something, meaning either that he does yibum or does chalitza to her, then that will uproot the zika bond that was there tenuously until something's done. Once that's removed, then you can go ahead and marry the sister of the chalutza, because you didn't do chalitza to her, it was the brother, and therefore you can go ahead and there's no machay zikuka. Now, then, if chalitza la achav kanasa, if his brother does chalitza, or consummates the relationship with the Yavama, well then yichnas sishtei, then he can go ahead and marry his wife because now there's nothing holding him back. It's not a chesukuka. Or if meisa hayavama, if the Yavama dies, then also yichnas sishtei, he can go ahead and marry his wife, meaning the sister of the Yavama, because even had he married her and then she died, he would still be permitted, even if she was his wife, because the Isra of Achay Sishtai is only forbidden when the wife is alive. So when the Yavama dies, for sure he can go ahead and marry the sister of not even the full wife, just like a Zakuka type of wife. Now, Meis Yavam, a different variation on this case, the Mishnah says, if the Yavam dies, meaning the one who we wanted to do Yavam, because not me, because I want to marry the sister of the Yavama. So someone else dies. Now, the only one that's left is this one brother who already got engaged to the sister of the Yavama, because the other brother that was available, he died. And that the Mishnah tells us, Yetzias Ishta Beget. What he has to do now is he has to divorce his wife that he got engaged to, who is the Achay Sekuka of this Yavama. He has to divorce her with a get. Ve'eshes Achav Bechalitza. And his brother's wife, the Yavama, he has to reject with Chalitza. And he can't do Yivim, because she's now Achay Sekurashasai, because he had to divorce because of Achay Sekuka. So both ways, he's in trouble. So he has to go ahead and divorce either one. It's that the Achay Sekuka needs gerishin, needs a get, because he was engaged to her. And the Eishes Achim, the Yavama, has to go ahead and be divorced with Chalitza, because she's Achay Sekurashasa, because he was already married, he already did Kedushin to her sister, and now that he's removing her, she's a Gerusha, but still the sister of a Gerusha. It's forbidden, so he has to Chalitza to this one, and a get to that one, so he lost both of them. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded to this in the Mishnah, The first case the Mishnah talks about is that when someone does chalitza to his Yavama, his brother goes ahead and marries the sister, dies without any children. So chalitza and not yibum, you can't do yibum because chalitza chalutza, which is rabbinic halacha. But then you can't do yibum because of that chalitza chalutza, but you still have to do chalitza because it's only rabbinic. Then the Mishnah said, and also what? Also, if he marries a woman, divorces her, his brother marries her sister, then she's totally exempt from Yibum or Chalitza because she's an Erva of Achayis Yisha. So the Gemara is asking, so what's and also? It's a different halacha. First case was Chalitza Bemis Abemis, and here you're Petur Lagamri. So that the Gemara amends and says, Avol HaMagarish. But the Magarish, yes, that's different. There it's not going to be Chalitza Bemis Abemis. Actually, there's going to be Petur Lagamri, as the Gemara explains, Omer Shlokish, that this division, this differentiation between when it's an Achayis Chalutza versus an Achayis Gerusha, is contra on the Rebbe. This is where Rebbe taught us a fundamental halacha, which although we always mention Gerusha and Chalutza together, we are Kain, for example, it's forbidden in the Gerusha, we say with Chalutza. But he says, Achayis Gerusha is Midiri Tairam, the prohibition of marrying the sister of a woman that you divorce, that's biblical. And therefore, since that means biblically she's an Erva, that's why, as our Mishnah tells us, she's totally exempt from Yibum, even from Chalitza. But v'achayis chalutza, the halacha of the prohibition of being forbidden in the sister of the woman that you reject through chalitza, that's only the receiving, that's rabbinic halacha, and therefore as all rabbinic prohibitions regarding the mitzvah of yibum, although that doesn't allow you to do yibum, but you still have to do chalitza as our Mishnah says. Now the Mishnah then, the third case spoke about was shemeres yavim shekidish v'chulu, that a woman that's anticipating yibum, meaning her husband died without any children, she's waiting for someone to do something. Then one of the brothers, instead of doing yibum to her, goes and actually gets engaged to her sister. So Amar Shmuel says, Halacha kedivri b'yudim seir, halacha v'azir g'yudim seir in our Mishnah, who says, wait a second, hold off. You can't go ahead and consummate that relationship yet, because you have a zika over here from that Yavama, and this will be a problem, b'chayis zikuka. Now, what you see from that is, as Rashi explains, that he holds yesh zika, and that the zika bond is strong enough to say that, wait a second, this is a strong thing, this is like almost a pseudo type of a marriage, and therefore you're forbidden in her sister who you want to go ahead and get married, and therefore we tell him to hold off and be humtin until one of the brothers removes that zika. Now related to this discussion, the Gemara says, Yibailu, the following question. Mesa Ishtai, if his wife, again, who this person who doesn't want to marry the Yavama, gets engaged to her sister, if his wife dies, the Achayis Yavama, then Mahu B'Yavimtei, what's going to be Halacha in his eligibility for the Yavama herself? And that is the question as follows. Do we say that, oh, now that his the fiance, the one that he was engaged to, died, well, now there's no more Isra of Achayis Isha, because it's Achayis Isha is only when the woman's alive. Now that she's dead, so now the Yavama is permitted. Or do you say that even though, now you're right, there's no Me'isach HaYisisha, but still you will have already cemented in the Isser Eishes Ach. Now the reason for that would be, since there was a moment during the Zika that you couldn't have said Yavama Yavi Aleha, because at that moment when he was engaged to her sister, well then the Yavama was forbidden because of a Chaisisha. So that already creates a status as a Eishes Ach Sheyesh Labanim, and therefore she's Asura Lamas, because there was a moment that she wasn't able to have Yavama Yavi Aleha. So the Gemara says that Rav v'Reb Chanina Damar Tavayu, they both said that Mesi Ishtoi, if his wife dies, you permit it in the Yavama, because now there's no more problem of a Chaisisha, so good, she's a great candidate for Yibum. She's an Eishes Ach that didn't have children, and there's no prohibitions here stopping it. But Shmuel v'Rav Azar and Tavayu, they argue, and they say, Mesi Ishtoi Asu Yavimtoi, if the wife dies, no, you're still forbidden in the Yavama, as we explained, because there was a moment that you couldn't have done it, because at that moment before the Achis Ishtoi had that, the one that he had getting engaged to, the sister of the one that was Zakuk, that when he was engaged to her, the Yavam was forbidden because of Achis Ishtoi. So Amar Rava says, my time of the Rav. What's the reason of Rav that he says that it's permitted? Seems to be difficult. Don't you say Nesolav Sha'achas? That's a klal that we say in the halachas of Zika, that if it's forbidden for one moment that Zika, there's an interruption, that then that's, forget it, you lost your chance, and that she, the Eishes Ach will have an Isser in it, and you can't undo that Erev of Eishes Ach. So the Gemara explains the reason Rav is Mishum Dehavya Yivama Shehucha, because it, the chronology was that you had a Yivama, that at the time that she, what's called Nafila, meaning when her husband dies, she falls for Yibam to the different brothers. At that moment, she was permitted because no one had done anything yet. Then Vanessa, then she became forbidden because that brother then went, got engaged to her sister. So she was forbidden to him. But then, Mechazav Hutra, then when that her sister that was engaged to that Yavam died, then there was no more Isra of Achisisha. So then she gets back Mutter. So Tavza L'Teir Rishon, she goes back to her original permitted status of an Eishes Ach, She'ein Labanim. Because that's always a call that we say, that something that's Mutter, a Nesra, V'chazer Hutra, it's Tavza L'Teir Rishon. So therefore, we don't say this halacha of Nesra Lav Sha'achas, Nesra Lav Eilamas. Because that would be, as the Gemara will shortly qualify, in certain situations of, let's say, right when in the Nefila, it was there already. But here you were permitted. It's just that Nesra, but when if you go back, you go back to the original Heter. Now that must Rav Nuna, on that Rav Amnuna asks to Rav from the following Brisa. Brisa says, Gimalachan, if there's three brothers, Beis Nesuin Beis Achayis, you have two of the brothers that are married to two sisters, Vechen Mufna, and the third brother is single. Meis Echem Bala Achayis, if one of the brothers that were married to one of the sisters dies without any children, now the single brother goes and he does maimer. He's not ready for marriage yet, but he says he's going to do maimer, which is like a rabbinic kedushin in the halachas of Yibam. Then his other brother, who's married to the other sister, dies, and now the sister goes. The other sister now falls for Yibam to him. Now what that does is that makes the first one that he already done maimer to forbidden now to go ahead and consummate that with Yibam, because now she's a chayzakuka of the second brother. Now, although he had already done maimertah, but that's as we learned in Perek Arba'achen, that Basil say, in such a situation, we qualify what's called oilei al ishtai. Woe to him for his wife, meaning the one that already got engaged to the maimer, because he has to divorce her. And woe to him to his brother's wife, the one that's falling for Yibam now, because she's a chayzakuka of the other one. And that is because since he didn't, as Basil's opinion, maimer is, that it's not a biblical full-fledged Kenyan, and therefore we'll still view as a chesakuka of each one. So the one that he's engaged to is over, he has to get rid of, and the one that he's falling for Yibam now also he can't stay married to. So that's the case that the Braisa is talking about. Now, va'achakach meisa ishtoi achrav, but here the Braisa adds on another point to this case. Then afterwards, the wife of the second brother, I mean the second sister to fall, dies after that brother, after her husband. Now, the only one left standing is the first sister that fell to him that he had done maimer to. And that, the Braisa says, still is Yavama, that Yavama, Chaylatz is Vlemis Yabemis. You can't do Yibim to her, even though there's no one prohibiting her, there's no Achayis Akuk over here, you still can't do Yibim, you have to do Chalitza. Now, that is what the Rav Amnun is asking to Rav, Amai, why is that? Tahava, based on what you said, Ki yivama shohutra, she was yivama that was permitted. When the first brother died without any children, then she felt there was no problems, so she was permitted. Then, Venestra, she became forbidden when the other brother died, and then his wife, which is the sister, fell, creating a chesakuka, so then the first one became forbidden. But then, v'chazav hutra, then she became back permitted again, when then that sister died, and then she's no ma'chesakuka. And based on what you said, Tachzal Teirishin, she should go back to her original permitted status, which is to be able to even do Yibum Tahar. And if the Braisa says that no, you can't do Yibum, that seems to contradict Rav's halacha. So I think Gemara says Ishtik. So Rav was quiet. He was silent. Didn't have an answer for that. Seems from the Braisa that seems to contradict his halacha of that, as Rav was explaining that you have the concept of Hutra, Nesra, Chazal Teirishin, and therefore, if you have that, the case of our Mishnah where he had gone and gotten engaged to the sister, but then she died, then Rav said you can go ahead and do Yibim to the Yavama because she was Mutter, Aser, and Tassel Teirishin. You see from this Braisa, not like that. But on that, the Gemara says, the Labasa the Nafik, after he left, Amar, so Rav said to himself, he says, Amayle Amarle, why didn't I tell him, which I could have answered and then it wouldn't contradict my halacha, that Rebbe Lazar he. That price, so don't ask on me, I'm going like the Chachamim. That price is going like Rebbe Lazar. Dama that he says in Perek Bei Shammai, regarding someone, talking about a regular man that's married to a woman, middle of the marriage, he divorces her, but then they reconciliate, and then he remarries her. So on that, the Tanakhama says, so then when he dies without any children, the Yavim is permitted to do Yibim Tar. She's like a regular Eshach She'in Lebanim. But Rebbe Lazar actually says that she's forbidden to be taken in Yibim. And he says the reason as follows. He says, Kivan She'amdo Alav Sho'achas Be'isr. Since there was one moment, even before the brother died, without any children, during his marriage, there was a moment that she was forbidden to her brother-in-law, not because of Eshach, because she was Gerusha Sach. At one point during their 10-year marriage, 5 years in, she got divorced. Now, she's not forbidden anymore because of Eish Sach. She's not married to him. She's forbidden because of Gerusha Sach, which is divorced by his brother. Now, which that doesn't allow Yibum. At the time when she's divorced, you can't do Yibum because if his brother dies without any children right now, she's not permitted. It's only when she's married to him that she's widowed from him. But if she's divorced, then that wouldn't be permitted. So there was one moment during their marriage, it was totally usher, there was no heter of Yibum. So therefore, so Rebbe Lazar says, Neso Lavei Lamas. So at that moment, she became forbidden to him forever, because that was Isra of Ach, from his brother, of his wife, when she's divorced, that doesn't have a heter whatsoever. A marriage has a heter. As long as they have no children, there is that qualifying factor of Yibum. But when she's divorced, it's not. And therefore he says, I could have said that was Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar is of the opinion that says that even if she's permitted, because 5 years into her marriage she was permitted, then for that 1 year that they were divorced, she becomes Zasa, and then he remarries her, it's Tachzal Teirishin. Yes, the Chacham would agree to that. But we see from Rebbe Lazar that he holds in such a format that it will be forbidden forever, and that he's the Tana of that Braisa. And that Hada Amma, but then Rav said to himself, wait a second, no, I couldn't have said that. Because Imadam Rebbe Lazar, when did Rebbe Lazar say this, that it's Asro Ilamas? That's Heichad Dulei Chazi B'Shas Nefila. That's only if coming into the Nefila before his brother ultimately dies without any children, that before that you already had a moment where she wasn't permitted, which is like that case where during their marriage sometimes she was divorced. So before his brother ever died, there was already this Isser there. So that never allows the Heter of Yibim to begin. But did he ever say, let's say regarding the case that I'm talking about in this Mishnah, which it actually does maybe seem to be refuted, because that Braisa, you can't say that it's the same concept, because that's only happening after the Nefila. Like in the case of our Mishnah, where he gets engaged to the sister afterwards, but there was a heter beforehand, and then there's an Isser, and then the heter afterwards. Did Rebbe Lazar ever say that? Maybe he would agree that Tachzal Teirishin. From the fact that he doesn't, and the Mishnah and the Braisa that we're asking from doesn't, I can't say that the time of the Braisa Rebbe Lazar, because I don't see from that to bring a proof that it's him, because maybe only over there, coming into the Nefila, she's already forbidden. That's Asro Ilav Ilamas. We don't say Hutra, Nesra, Chazra, Behutra. But if that would happen afterwards, meaning that she already had a heter of Yibim, meaning he died and she's ready for Yibim, there I don't know to say, to be able to refute that the Braisa is like Rebbe Lazar, that there even he would say that it's Asra Ilamas. But then he said back to himself, no, it's not true. It is that the case, that Rabbi Elazar would say, even in such a case, and I could say he's a Tana d'Braisa, and therefore it's not difficult on me, on my interpretation of this different, unique case, based on the case of a Mishnah, that if this sister that he was engaged to would die, he would be permitted in the Yavama. Because Rabbi Tanya learned the Braisa as follows. Rabbi Elazar says, and this is going on the case of when, like the case of a Mishnah, where one of the Yavams, he gets engaged to the sister of the Yavama. So Rabbi Elazar says, Mesi Yavimtai, if the Yavama dies, so he says, Motabishta, then is permitted in his wife, because that's, although she's a Chais Yavama, but that's not a problem, because what was it already? The Yavama had, what, a Zika bond? But even if he was married to her, once she dies, you're permitted in Achis Ishtai. But he says, Mesi Ishtai, if his wife, meaning the sister of the Yavama that he's engaged to, dies, he says clearly, like Shmuel and Ravasi, that then you'll do chalitza and not yibum. And therefore, what Rav is saying to himself, he says, it's not difficult on me, this interpretation of this brisa, because you see clearly a case of hutra, venestra, meaning exactly the case of our Mishnah, the chazra of a hutra, and meaning in the way that the Gemara had asked the question, that Rabbi Elazar is saying clearly, as Shmuel and Ravasi's opinion was saying, that, oh, it's Nesra Elo Elamas. So therefore, he says, beautiful. You see that even after the Nefila, when you have that chronology of Hutra, the Nesra V'chazav V'hutra, that Rabbi Elazar is going to say, it's Asa Elamas. I can say, he's the Tana that Braisa. But it's not a contradiction on me that I'm saying that you're going to be permitted, because Acham, who don't hold like Rabbi Elazar, would actually say that it's permitted. So therefore, the Gemara asks, so then let's go the other way around. So Lema Shmuel Ravasi the Amri Kareb Elazar. So should we say that when Shmuel Ravasi, they said their halacha that's Asa Elamas, are we saying that we're limiting them to just like Rabbi Elazar, but that they wouldn't be like the Chachamim? The thing Gemara says no, because we see that it's only Rabbi Elazar that's saying this halacha. So Gemara says, Afal Timik Rabban, you could say that even the Rabban would agree in this case that Chaylatz is Vilay Misabemes. Because Adkan Likimifiki Rabban led Rabbi Elazar up until now, meaning in Perek Beishamai, where we have the Rabban argue Rabbi Elazar regarding this halacha of, let's say, by the case where they argue of Grusha during the time of when they were married and then he remarried her, that they say that it's not Aser when they fall for Yibam. That's Ella, that's only because when you divorce her and you remarry her, Mishum din Nefila ve'elech lo mitzra alai, like this variable that we mentioned just before. Because at the time of death, there was never any Iser. In other words, you cannot, they hold, not like Rabbi Elazar, you can't say that at the time of the Nefila, there was a problem, there was an interruption of Yavama Yavala. That wasn't true. Because at that time, she never became prohibited. It was only Grushas Achav at the time they were married, but that's not, they hold, is the problematic principles of Yavama Yavala. That only starts when he dies. And therefore, that's where they argue on him. But in this Braisa, when one of the brothers of the person that died gets engaged to the sister of the Yavama, where that's happening after the Nefila, the Itzer, where then the Yavama becomes forbidden to him. Because at the time of the bond of the Zika, you don't call on the Yavama, Yavama Yavalaha, because he cannot go ahead and do Yivimtah, because he's engaged to her sister, which makes the Yavama Achayis Ishtai. Then the Ashmo and Abasi would tell you that even they would agree that it would be Asura Lavei Lamas. They only argue over there by when he got divorced, the previous husband, in the middle of his marriage and then remarried her. There they say, okay, that didn't create any problems because yes, at the time that he's divorced, you can't do Yibam, but that doesn't qualify Yavam Yabalah. That's only from the Nefila and onward. But if it happened afterwards, then they would not say, like Rav wants to say, that Chazal Terishin, and actually would be Asura Lavei Lamas. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the qualifying of the halachas of Yibam. So the Mishnah tells us that ha-yivamo le-tachlitz, the Yavama cannot be divorced through chalitza. The Gemara is going to explain why this should be, but v'loytis yavma, neither can she have Yibam done to her, ad sheyesh l'shloish chodashim, until there's a 3-month interval from when her husband died, only after that time period can you have chalitza or Yibam done. Now the Mishnah tells us actually, it's not just a unique halacha for Yibam, also old other women. Lo yisarsu v'lo yinasu, they shouldn't get engaged, neither to get married. At sheyul en shleish chodashim, until there's a 3-month gap from the last time that they had relations with a man. And that's echad besulois, v'echad beulois, whether they're a virgin or whether they're non-virgin. Echad gerushas, v'echad almanas, whether they're divorced, whether they're widowed. Echad nesuas, v'echad arusas, whether they were married, whether they were engaged, which the Gemara is going to ask what's the difference between saying a besula, a virgin, to an arusa, who obviously never had intimate relations, and between the sua, a woman that's married, to a ba'ula, which obviously had intimate relations. But be that as it may, the Tanakhama says it doesn't make a difference what the situation was. If it was something that was in the environment of intimacy, you have to wait 3 months before you go ahead and even get engaged for sure to get married. Rabbi Yehuda, he argues, he says no. He says, Hanesuais is arsu. Even a married woman can get engaged, because the reason why we have this 3 month interval is because we want to be able to differentiate between the paternity of this child. We want to know, and we don't want to enter a situation of doubt, meaning if let's say she gets married a month after her previous husband, well then now if 7 months after she got married to this person, or 8 months after she has a child, now we don't know, is it a 7 month baby from the second husband, or is it a 9 month baby from her first husband right before he died? And because of that, we don't want to create doubt. But what Yehuda is saying is that doesn't apply to getting engaged, because getting engaged is not being intimate anyway. So he says, yes, even if you were married, which you had intimacy, you can go ahead and get engaged. V'harusa isinasu, and same thing is, a woman that was only engaged to her previous man can then go ahead and get married right away, because again, she's obviously not pregnant from the first one, because in the state of erusin, there's no intimacy. However, he does agree, except for those women that are engaged in the area of Eretz Yisrael, which is called Yehuda Judea, because as the Mishnah teaches us in the first perek, Masechtas Ksubas Daf Yud Beis, that in Yehuda they would be meyached, they would put it in seclusion, the chasen, the kal, the bride, and the groom, before they even went to the chuppah where they had nisuin, so that they should be comfortable one with the other one, that they shouldn't be embarrassed when it comes time to do the bia mitzvah. And so therefore they wanted to create that type of comfortability, so therefore they would create seclusion. Therefore we're concerned actually that maybe that he was bala and that they had relations and they should leave a gospel because he's very comfortable with her. So because of that, they might have come to that type of situation. So there, maybe there would be a question regarding the paternity, and there, even if you're engaged, that you wouldn't be able to go ahead and get married to the next person. Now, Rabbi Yossi Eimer, he basically agrees to Rabbi Yehuda, but he says a little different. He says, "Kol nashim yis arsu." All women could get engaged. Now, as Rashi explains, that what Rabbi Yossi is coming to qualify is regarding the case of nesuos, the women that were married. And he's telling Rabbi Yehuda, he says, "I agree that all women that were married can go ahead and get engaged. There's no reason to make it forbidden, because there's no problem of paternity when you're getting engaged. And we're also not concerned about engagement, which Tanakhama would be, that because then you might get married too. You might do nisuin." But he says, so although I agree with you regarding that, but there is one point that I argue, because you didn't differentiate regarding this previously married woman, whether she was widowed or divorced. And you permitted even a widow to get engaged, even during her time of mourning. Now, but I hold, and this is where I argue on you, chutz min almana, except for a widow who was originally married to her previous husband, that there she shouldn't get engaged all the 30 days of her avelis. And we continue on Talmud Beis. And the reason is, because of the halacha of avelis, of mourning, and it's not appropriate to go ahead and get married to someone else. Now, and that's what Rashi clarifies again, that when Rabbi Yossi says, kol nashim yis arsu, all women can get engaged, additionally, he's not coming to exclude to say that a woman that was previously engaged cannot get married. Because there, actually, he agrees to Rabbi Yehuda. Because again, the whole point is regarding Havchana, and Rabbi Yossi actually is more lenient than Rabbi Yehuda in the halachas of differentiating the paternity of the child. As the Gemara says on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, rather, as we explained, the only point that he is arguing him is regarding mourning, that there he argues and he says that it's not appropriate for a woman that was widowed from her previous marriage to go ahead and get married within 30 days. Now the Gemara asks regarding the first halacha of the Mishnah, that it said that a woman cannot have chalitza or yibam until after 3 months. So the Gemara asks as follows. Bishlim l'tisyam, we understand that yibam shouldn't be done until 3 months. And the reason is, because shema yihav lad ben kayama, because maybe she's pregnant. And maybe that pregnancy, that fetus, will go full term and will be a viable child. You don't know the first 3 months after her husband died. Maybe she just became pregnant, and it's not going to be noticeable until after 3 months. And then, if she has a viable child, that means to say she was a biblical erva of Eish Tisach, where there's no heter of Yibam, and therefore, yes, it makes sense. You have to wait 3 months till you do Yibam. But Eloi Tachlet Samai, but why does the Mishnah say that you can't do Chalitza, and that after 3 months, if it doesn't make a difference, because if you, after 3 months that you see that she's not pregnant, so definitely she could get married based on the chalitza. Or even if she miscarries, she could get married because chalitza was done. What is the problem about doing chalitza within 3 months? Either way, he's rejecting her. Right? So if she has a child, so fine. So you don't need chalitza because she has a child anyway. So they didn't have that sikah. If she doesn't have a child, so chalitza was done. So she doesn't have to wait and to make sure that, okay, after 3 months, we'll come to Bezin. Right now, I'll give you chalitza. And look, if after 3 months we find out that you're not pregnant, so you have the chalitza done. And even if you were, if you miscarry, so the chalitza is done. What's the problem about doing it within 3 months? So that the Gemara wants to say, that makes sense like Rish Lakish. And actually, Lema Tavit Yiftu Rabbi Yechon, this should be refutation of Yechon. Because the Amar, he says, chalitza is mu'berish ma'chalitza. He says, the chalitza done to a pregnant woman is considered chalitza. Now, obviously, that's being refuted from our Mishnah, because that's why the Mishnah says that chalitza shouldn't be done, because maybe she'll be pregnant, but then she'll miscarry. And then she's going to say, but okay, look, obviously I fall for Yibam because I didn't have a viable child, but I had chalitza done. But our Mishnah is telling us, like Rish Lakish, that no, the chalitza when she's pregnant was not a valid chalitza. And therefore, you can't do chalitza within 3 months. But based on Rabbi Yechanan, he should say that it should be a valid chalitza. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, why does our Mishnah say like tachlitz? So that the Gemara says, you're right, it seems to indicate like Rish Lakish. But falav mi yizvini le b'yechna chadezim. Didn't we anyways refute Rabbi Yechna's opinion already in the beginning of the parak and naflam heyem et beis? What are you pointing out? Yes, loy tachlitz is difficult according to Rabbi Yechna, because even if she'll be pregnant, the chalitza should still be a chalitza, and therefore it's a proof to Rish Lakish that you can't even do chalitza because maybe she's pregnant and chalitza mubes leishma chalitza. So the Gemara says, no, let's say that this would also be a second refutation of his opinion. Now, as Rashi explains, what do you need a second refutation? The difference would be if, let's say, we end up finding a good resolution for the first refutation and say it's not difficult, you'll have another one to say that, no, you refuted from this. And then the Gemara says, actually, loy. This would not be a refutation on Rabbi Yechanan. Because, hachahayna taima, here the reason why the Mishnah tells us, loy tachatz, you need to wait 3 months to do chalitza, is shem yehe vlad ben kayamam, maybe this child will be a viable child. Now, what's going to come out is, you're going to require an announcement. They're going to have to make a public announcement to say that, yes, although that this woman got chalitza in Bezin, and chalitza makes a woman not able to get married to a kohen, because we rabbinically make it like a grusha, which a kohen cannot marry a grusha, but that wasn't a chalitza. Because at that time we didn't know if she was pregnant. But it turns out she ends up having a viable child from her first husband, which she doesn't even fall for Yibbe Chalitza. So the shoe and the whole process they did was like nothing. And therefore she's not Chalitza / Gerusha. So she can get married to Kuna. So you're going to have to make an announcement. So the Gemara says, okay. So why is that a reason why you can't do Chalitza? Benitzucha. And require an announcement. And the Gemara says, no. Because you're going to run into a problem. There might be an individual who was there by the Chalitza ceremony. There's something interesting. He goes and he sees this woman's getting Chalitza. But it's not going to happen to be there by when they make the announcement to say that wasn't a valid chalitza. And they're going to invalidate her from kohuna because they're going to say she's a chalitza. And they're not going to know that there was an announcement to say that she is valid. Now, the Gemara says, fine, that would seem to resolve even according to Rabbi Yechanan why loy tachlitz the first 3 months. But tenech amana, that makes sense for a widow. Grusha ma'ikla meima, what can you say about a divorcee? In other words, when we say it seems to qualify all cases, our Mishnah said there's no exceptions, you can't do chalitza. But the problem is, why can't you do chalitza if she was already divorcee before she even married his brother, the one that just died without any children? Because this woman is already anyways pasul to kohuna. So what would be the difference to say that you can't do chalitza? Why not? Why can't you do chalitza? She's saying that because you might come to a situation that we'll be forbidding her to kahanim for no reason. Anyway, she's forbidden because she was divorced before she even got married to him. So that the Gemara has to say a different reason why, because it seems to be including all cases, even if the woman was previously a gerusha. So the Gemara says, Mishum de mafsad la mezoinis. But the reason why we're not doing chalitza within 3 months is because we're going to create a loss for this widow. She's going to be losing out sustenance. And the reason is because all 3 months after her husband dies, she gets supported from her husband's estate. As the Gemara will shortly quote a braisa. Now, if this Yavim does chalitzatar, then she doesn't get sustenance anymore. Now, that's a problem because generally when she has chalitzatar, fine, but then she can get married to someone else and then get sustenance, get food, get fed from somewhere else. But here she can't get married until after 3 months because that's halacha. as we said, when you have a previous relationship, you have to wait 3 months, comes out that she's losing support for whatever time is left and that she has no other options. Therefore, we say not to create this loss for her, that you can't do chalitza within the first 3 months because of the loss of her sustenance. Now, that the Gemara still asks. So, fine. Tenach Nesua, we're fine-tuning this. Tenach Nesua, that's very good about if the woman was previously married to this brother that died without any children. But Arusa Grusha, if you have this compound of a woman that A, was previously divorced, so there's not going to be any problems of kuhuna, that was engaged to his brother. Now, the husband died when they were still engaged. She falls to Yibam, which there is halacha of Yibam, even from Erisin, even if she was just engaged to his brother without any children. Over there, the Gemara asks, my claim, what are you going to be able to say? You should be able to do chalitza within 3 months because you don't have all the reasons you said. There's no problem of mezoinus that she's losing out because a woman that's engaged anyways doesn't get support for sustenance from her fiancé, from the one that she's engaged to. And there's also not going to be what you're saying, the necessity of the announcement for kuhuna, because she's anyways possible because she's already divorced from her previous husband. So if she's a grusha, arusa, what are you going to say over there? Why over there? Would it be loitachlitz? So El Rav, the Gemara gives a different approach. The reason is Meshum de Rabbi Yasi. It's kind of like learning the Braisam. There was a certain individual that came in front of Rabbi Yasi. Amalei said to him, "Ma ulachlis p'teich kimo? What's halacha? This person's brother died without any children, and I don't want to just hang around over here. Maybe he lived very far away. Could I do chalitza within 3 months?" So Amalei says, "Lo tachlis. No, don't do chalitza." So he says, "What about tachlis mabaka? What's the worst thing that's going to happen if I do chalitza?" So Karl of Mikra says, so he recited upon him this pasuk. It says in the parasha of Yibam, it says, "Im lo yachbitz." If he doesn't desire, if he doesn't want to do Yibam, then the pasuk continues says the process that you'll do is chalitza. But the inference is, ha'im chafetz Yibam, the inference is that to be able to do chalitza is that if you do want to, that you could do Yibam. Which means to say, kala oyle Yibam oyle chalitza chulu, that if you're eligible to do Yibam, then you're eligible to do chalitza. But here, this person, since she's not oyle Yibam within these first 3 months, as we explained before, because maybe she's going to be pregnant, and maybe she's going to be an Eishas Ach, therefore, you don't have the end of the pasuk either of her coming to Sha'ara in front of the Zikain to have Chalitza done, because you're not oyle Yibam within the first 3 months, so neither are you oyle Chalitza. That's why you can't do Chalitza. Not because her reason of Chalitza per se, it's just because Chalitza is interdependent on the ability to do Yibam, which you can't do within the first 3 months. Now, Rashi clarifies that this is not a difficulty according to Rabbi Yechanan, where he says actually that Chalitza's Mu'beres is a Chalitza, although that it's going to come out that if she is pregnant, that you obviously, and that it's a viable child, that you can't do Yibam. So that Rashi explains that no. The reason is because if Chalitza was done, then of course definitely it's going to be a kosher Chalitza like Rabbi Yechanan says. Now, this that it says that you're not oil Chalitza is not saying that the chalitza is going to be pasul, because as Rashi says, we find by many women that we say chalitza v'lo misyamus. Now, how could that be? That's an oxymoron. You say it has to be oil yibam to be oil chalitza. That's not true, as Rashi says, because where it's not possible, for example, if that's the actual halacha, like by many rabbinic cases, so then we say that you do get chalitza even without yibam. So obviously, it is a chalitza, even though you're not oil yibam rabbinically at least. However, what our Gemara is talking about, what is Rabbi Yossi's halacha, where it's possible to wait until to see if you're eligible for Yibam, then you wait, because that's the halacha of waiting 3 months for Yibam to see if she's eligible or not, and we don't want to enter a situation where she might not be, and you're going to be encountering Eishes Ach. So then, l'katchila, we say that you're not oyle chalitza. But if there's no other option, you're going to wait forever, because you're never going to find out, then of course, even though you're not oyle Yibam, you would be oyle Chalitza, and that you could do Chalitza, and therefore, even according to Rabbi Yechanan, after the fact, the Chalitza would be a Chalitza, although initially, like Rabbi Yossi is saying, you don't do Chalitza for the first 3 months. Now, that must Rav Chinna asked on Rabbi Yossi's halacha that we just quoted, which is explaining our Mishnah in way of resolving Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. The Braisa says as follows, Hasvekes, the women that are in doubt, Chalitzas v'lo misyamus. So you do chalitza to them and you don't do yibam. So the Gemara asks, my sveikas. What does it mean, the women that are in doubt? Ilei misafik kedushin, if it means that it was doubtful if she was ever engaged, married to his brother, meaning when his brother got engaged to his wife that he just died without any children from, he threw the kiddushin to her. Now, it wasn't clear, they weren't able to clearly assess, was it closer to her, the kiddushin, or to him? If it was closer to her, then she's engaged. If it's closer to him, then she's not engaged. Now, therefore, it's in doubt. And then he dies. So now, even an arusa has to have yibum. So it's a doubtful case. So you do chalitza, and you don't do yibum. That the Gemara asks, how can that be the case? Amayla mesiyamas. In that case, why wouldn't you be able to do yibum? Tisyabim ve'imbaka klum. To the contrary, memanav shach. Either way you look at it, he should be able to do, quote, yibum. Because if it was a good kiddushin and she is a yavama, so he's doing a full-fledged yibum. And if his brother's kiddushin wasn't a kiddushin, so then she's just a random woman that was never engaged to anyone, and of course he can go ahead and consummate the relationship. Say Allah, rather what you have to say is the case is talking about safek shekidish achas mishtei achayis. The doubt is, we don't know which one of two sisters is it that he got engaged to. Ve'en yidei ezem en kiddush, now he doesn't know which one he got engaged to, and then he dies. And therefore, if that's the case, the Brisa says, V'ketoni chaylat says, the Brisa says, that both of them have chalitza done to them, and that you don't do yibum. And that is, you can't do yibum, because maybe you're going to be encountering a chayis akuka. Now yet here we have a case of where you're not oily yibum, because either one might be actually the sister of the one that really the zik is from, and yet you're still your oily chalitza. Now, however, this is still different than what Rashi clarified before in Rabbi Yochanan, because here you should also be able to say, wait until you have witnesses that come and clarify and define for us which one is the Yavama. And you don't say that. You say, okay, it's doubtful. We're not going to waste our time. We'll do Chalitza. But how could you? Based on the principle of Rabbi Yisi, you should say, Kol she'ein o'ilim ein o'il Chalitza, and you should have to wait and just wait around. You're right. If it's impossible to know, like what Rashi explained before for Rabbi Yochanan, like we have many cases like that, then we'll say Chalitza lemesebemes. But here there's a possibility of verification. Who was that sister? So why do we say Chalitza lemesebemes? So that the Gemara says, no. Hachi hashta, can you compare the two cases? Hasam, over there, she actually is Oyla Leyibim, either one of these two sisters who we're not sure who the brother got engaged to. Because if we would know, Im Yave Eliyahu, if Eliyahu Novi would come, V'yayimer d'ha kiddush, you tell us, look, I know you guys don't know, but he actually got engaged to this sister. Well, then bas chalitza b'yibim hi, she's what is called intrinsically eligible for yibim and chalitza. It's just that we just don't know. But it's not that intrinsically she's not eligible for yibim. However, hacha, over here in the case that we're talking about of the halacha of waiting 3 months after her husband died, im yave Eliyahu b'yayim, if Eliyahu would come and say, look guys, the holoi i'abra, she's not pregnant. And therefore, you can go ahead and do yibum and do chalitza, whatever you want. The whole reason of waiting 3 months is maybe she's pregnant. And then they, for it's a eishes hach, and it's not eligible for yibum. On that, the Gemara says, mi mashkech bev, you have min ala? Would we pay attention to Eliyahu Navi and do yibum? I'll prove to you that it's not. Because although, yes, you're right that the purpose of the halacha was to be able to define if she's pregnant or not, but even if Eliyahu Navi would tell us, and for a fact, we'd do some type of a sonogram or something that would clarify this halacha, nothing more says it doesn't make a difference. Because Hakatano Dilav Bas Iburihu, a minor is someone, a 7-year-old, cannot become pregnant. Yet the halacha of this of our Mishnah, which doesn't make any differences, still says you have to wait 3 months, even though that she can become pregnant. Obviously, you see that this is an ironclad gezeirah, and that's why we consider it as an eina oilibum, and therefore you're not oila chalitza. Now, as Rashi clarifies again, he says all the cases that Rabbanan say chalitzas b'loy mesyamas, for example, by achos chalutza, or achos zukuka, or when you have a suffix tzaras erva, that's because again it's not possible any other way, because or else she's going to be forbidden forever. Because you can't do yibum to a rabbinic erva of a chalutza. But biblically it doesn't exempt you, so you still have to do something. So therefore, since biblically she's a bas yibum, so you do chalitza. But here, where you could wait until after 3 months, so then you wait and then you clarify exactly that it's permitted. But it's more than just that we say that we're going to wait. Now that you could wait and then figure out the facts, so the Rabbanan made an ironclad halacha that it's ein oilim. It's almost intrinsic in her that she can't be oilim, and that's why ein oil chalitza. That's why you can't do chalitza the first 3 months. But the case that you're asking me from, that's only what's called a chesaron yidia. We just don't know which one of the two sisters. That doesn't make her a non oil oilim. She is a bas yibum. And it's just that we don't know, and therefore she's oyla chalitza, and that's why you could do chalitza, and you don't have to wait to verify which one of the sisters is it that he was engaged to. Now, continuing on this halacha, the Gemara brings a trabah in the braisa. Yivama, this woman that her husband just died without any children, so shloisha chadash merishayim, the first 3 months, where, as we said in our Mishnah, that she can't get married, and the reason why she can't get married is because of her husband that just died on her, and that maybe she's pregnant from him. So it's still a connectivity from a previous husband. So then nizaynis mishal bal. Then she gets fed. She gets the payment from her husband's estate, because that's actually what he writes to her. In the ksuba he writes atahe yasva bebeisi. You'll sit in my house umisazna minichse, and you'll get fed from my properties. Koyemi meger amalasayich, all the days of your dwelling in your widowhood. And therefore these 3 months where she's still a widow from him, because why no one could do anything to her now is because for these 3 months she's on lockdown because maybe she's pregnant from him. So she gets fed from his estate. Mikan ve'elach, after the 3 months, einin izayni, she doesn't get fed, she doesn't get support. Le'mishal bav le'mishal yavam, neither from her previous husband or from the yavam. Now, the reason why it's not comparable to other widows, where other widows actually, as long as she doesn't get married to someone else, so she actually gets fed, she gets mezainis as long as she's a widow from her husband's estate, is because she says, or she could claim, that, oh, the reason why I'm not getting married to anyone else is because of my previous husband, where his honor so agreed on me and I can't go ahead and marry some other person. So it's still the widowhood from her marriage with him. But here, it's different. Here she's actually bound to the yavam. And it's not because, it's the fact that she's not getting married to someone else is not because of her husband. It's actually because of the bond she has with the yavam. And therefore, she doesn't get anything from her husband's estate anymore. It's not because of me, meaning the dead husband would say. It's because of the yavam. You have a relationship over here with some other man, what's called a zika with the yavam. Now, however, but she also doesn't get fed from the yavam's estate, because that's only until you have nisuin, until you come to the chuppah, because you don't get mezainis with even Arison, all the more so with just a Zika bond. Now, so she's in this type of situation where after 3 months, up to 3 months she was getting fed, after 3 months, she tells the Yavam, you know, do you have to decide now? Because now I'm without anything. So Ahmad Bedin, if they come to court where she comes and claims, she says, either do Yibam or do Chalitza, exempt me. I need to be able to get someone as a spouse so I can be supported, either you or someone else. So if there was a court case, ubarach, and then he fled, meaning because she came to Bezin and says he has to do something, so then the halacha is nizaynis mishal yavam. So she gets actually fed from the yavam of the state because we penalize him and say, what are you doing? You're creating a difficulty for this woman, either you or someone else. Why are you running away? So then she gets fed from his estate. That's the brisa. So the Gemara is as follows. Naflu lefnei yavam katan. Let's say the brother of her husband that just died without any children is a minor. Now, so that the Gemara says, Meyavim lasla. Obviously, from the Yavim she doesn't get, because even if he was an adult, she wouldn't get anything from him, because until you have Chub, until you have Nisuin, you don't get anything. But the question is, Mibalma, in that situation, what would be the halacha? Would she still get fed from her husband even after the 3 months? Because here it's a little bit different. Here you can't say that she's bound to the Yavim, because actually, the fact that he's still a minor, he can't do Yibim. So that the Gemara says, Pligi Baravach Ravina. Chadama Isla, so one says, so she still gets from her husband's estate. Chadama Lesla, another one says she doesn't get. The Halacha is a Lesla, and the Halacha is that she doesn't get. And the reason is because Mishemaya Kansua. From heaven they penalized her. Meaning, you're right, you're in a situation where you're not going to be able to get to do Yibim with him because he's a minor, but still, your Zika is binding you to someone that can't even do Chuppah, can't even get married to you. But doesn't make a difference because heaven is dictating that that's where you're stuck right now. And therefore, since that's the situation that you're in, it's not that you're, because of the honor of your previous husband, that you don't want to get married. It's because of the Zika, which is going to be a long process. But still, it's from heaven, obviously, that they're penalizing her and putting that to the situation. And therefore, she does not get mezainis mishal baal from a previous husband.